Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years as radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back, 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me today. It's always a pleasure. My website is www.jbsba.com. I encourage you to check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter, and don't forget to check out the archives, over 2,000 of those, and probably approaching 1,000 articles. Lots of those there, and lots of other things you can do there, including finding out more about our guest this half hour, our good friend Matthew Cartwright, who's a partner in the law firm of Munley & Cartwright, based in Pennsylvania, the great state of Pennsylvania. He's our good friend. Matthew, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to have you back, and Matthew and I are both fellow Rotarians, and we were just talking off the air about the changeover of the guard. This is the time of the year when the Rotary clubs change their administrations, isn't it?
It is, and I treasure my Rotary membership. I meet so many different people from different walks of life. So much of my time is spent with lawyers and judges. It's refreshing for me to spend time with business people.
Well, and that's another reason why we like to have you back on the show, Matthew, because we try to ground you. We feel like when you come to talk to us on the show, we ground you in reality. Matthew, here's a quick question. We're going to talk about document retention in a minute, but I have a quick question for Matthew. One of the things that's going on right now is that today, or this week at least, I'm not sure exactly when, Saddam Hussein is going to have as somebody called it, the mother of all perp walks. He's going to come in with his, I don't think they're going to make him wear an orange jumpsuit, but he is going to be cuffed and shackled and he's going to be arraigned, essentially, what we would call an arraignment. And he's going to be given the opportunity to have a legal representative to represent him. And so here's my question. As an attorney, what if the Supreme Court of Iraq called and said, Matthew, we'd like you to consider representing Saddam Hussein?
I'm glad you raised that. That's a great question. My answer would be, I'm honored, but I'm not qualified, because, boy, does Saddam Hussein need a better lawyer than me. But the question you're asking.
Well,
let's say that
they successfully argue with you, and convince you that qualifications are not really what we're at issue here. The question is, well, let's say this, Matthew. Let's say that they say we've already asked 1,000 other lawyers. And we're down to you.
Well, what you're asking is, how can lawyers represent despicable people, people who have done hateful things? And Saddam is kind of at the top of that list right now. What you're asking is a question that has gone back hundreds of years in American history. You look at the second president of the United States, John Adams. He was very close friends with a fellow named James Otis. James Otis was a lawyer in Boston, and he defended the British soldiers who fired on the crowd in the Boston Massacre. And he did so because that's part of what it is to be an American. You stick up for the accused. The accused in America has a right to a fair trial, to be defended fair and square in court. And that's what we believe in America. And so my answer would be, if you can't find anybody else to defend this heinous criminal, I'll do it.
All right, that's very interesting. I'm glad you said that, because many years ago, 30 years ago, a friend of mine graduated from law school, and I asked him a similar question. I said, how do you defend somebody like this? And he said, basically what you said. And that helped me to understand, how you you proceed with your law practice knowing that you don't know who's going to walk in the door and say, will you help me?
It's one of the many things that make America the greatest country on the face of the earth.
And won't that be a great example if they pull this off in Iraq for that country coming into the 21st century community of free nations?
Jim, that's scary. What's going to happen in Iraq? And that's the subject of a whole different show.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm hopeful that it's going to turn out okay. I hope it doesn't turn into the Milosevic sideshow that they've got going on over in The Hague right now. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk about document retention. How long do you have to keep those things? And how do you protect yourself with your own documents? 20 till. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Matthew Cartwright. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Matthew Cartwright, who's one of the resident attorneys in our Brain Trust, and we appreciate his time and his expertise. Matthew, all of us create documents. We create information, and some of it's printed out and put in files, and some of it is in computers, and it helps us to do our business. But sometimes, you know, down the road, it's time to get rid of those documents. And I'd like for you to talk to us about the good, the bad, and the ugly of document retention.
Well, I come at it from a litigator's perspective. I do a lot of business litigation. And from time to time, the question arises, well, did you keep this piece of evidence or did you destroy it? And if you kept it, why did you keep it? And if you destroyed it, shouldn't you ought to have kept it?
Mm-hmm.
This comes up in litigation, and it comes up in regulatory areas too. So the point is that every business, big or small, must have a document retention / destruction policy.
Mm-hmm.
So that you follow that policy, that you're consistent with it, and if you destroyed something that somebody later on says, hey, you should have kept that, you can point to acting consistently with your own policy. So the first thing to do is establish the policy. You need to think it through. You need to make sure it's reasonable, that it complies with the law, not only the regulatory law that applies to the type of business you're in. If you're a stockbroker, you have your own lawyers advising you on what the regulations require. I'm not going to do that here. But you also need to be aware of statutes of limitations that may apply to disputes surrounding particular items of documentation.
Right.
Let me give you an example. Your business is a flower shop. You keep documents, well, obviously you're going to have employee personnel files, bookkeeping files, correspondence and contracts with suppliers and vendors and customers. How long do you keep your contracts with your vendors? Well, you need to know, for example, in Pennsylvania, the statute of limitations on a contract claim is 4 years. So it makes sense for you to keep all of your contracts with your vendors for at least, I'd say, 5 years after the time when you break off relations with the vendor in case anything comes up. Another example is, what if you're a gas station owner and you have underground storage tanks for petroleum products?
Mm-hmm.
How long do you keep correspondence on, say, the maintenance of those tanks? Well, in Pennsylvania, the statute of limitations on a claim for a leaking underground storage tank is 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice is you better keep those maintenance records pretty much forever, because if it comes up that there's a leak, you need to prove that you did the right thing in maintaining your tanks and checking them and all of that.
Well, I've run into situations in the past, for not so much for my business, but with businesses that I was working with, where, you know, there was some kind of a breach, and there actually was a question about whether the statute of limitations had run, And we were scurrying around trying to find documentation of that we could use as a basis for that statute of limitations.
Yeah,
and, sometimes we found it, sometimes we didn't find it.
Right.
And and we couldn't count on the other person, you know, on the other side of the table, we couldn't count on them to help us. They weren't going to help us at all.
No, they're against you in court. So probably the safe thing to do is figure out what the statute of limitations is and then build in a cushion on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is generally accepted statute of limitations for most business type of situations?
Well, it varies from state to state. For example, and it varies from claim to claim as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are contract claims. You know, you break a deal. In Pennsylvania, that's a four-year statute. If your employee, you know, driving the flower delivery van runs down a lady in the crosswalk, well, that's a tort claim,
mm-hmm.
and that's a two-year statute of limitations in Pennsylvania. That would be a three-year statute of limitations in New York, and it's different in Alabama and every place else. That's why you must have your own lawyer to check on what
somebody,
the local statutes are.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the exceptions you must build in to your document retention and destruction policy is that you must keep documents in case of pending or threatened or likely litigation. If you have reason to suspect that either you're going to get sued or that you may have to bring your own lawsuit against another company, you better keep those. You better suspend the shredding program right away on all relevant documents. If you don't, you can be in trouble for what we call spoliation, which is destruction of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And that can kill your case against somebody else, or that could create a case against you that didn't otherwise exist.
So you could actually be innocently destroying documents, not with any intent to what you call it, spoliate?
Spoliation, right.
Spell that.
S-P-O-L-I-A-T-I-O-N.
Okay, good. Good for you. You won the spelling bee. So without any intent to do that, you could still get yourself into trouble by doing that.
Well, you know, in the law, there are various levels of intent. There's complete innocence. Then there's negligence, you mm-hmm. know, carelessness. Then there's right. recklessness, gross negligence. There's on up to intent.
I love attorneys, don't you folks? They're just they've got all these wonderful words that help us to stratify our lives. Stand by, Matthew. We're going to be right back. 10 till. I'm Jim Lansingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Lansingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our resident attorney, Matthew Cartwright, out of the beautiful downtown Scranton, Pennsylvania. It is Scranton, right, Matthew?
We have offices all over northeastern Pennsylvania, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, principally.
Yeah. Now, you want to give us a website?
Oh, sure. It's www.munley.com.
I appreciate. Now, I know you've been doing a lot of work with the 911, the folks who are involved in 911 in New York, and I know you've been doing that pro bono, and I appreciate you making that available. Anything new that you'd like to report from that effort?
That's really coming to a conclusion. We did 7 cases in our office, and they
this is
are
where
all...
you're helping the victims' families, right?
Right, and it. What a feel-good project that's been, giving free legal help to the families of the victims. In fact, we're having a big gathering next week up in Boston where all of us are being honored. There's about 1,100
wow.
lawyers. So, yeah.
Well, good for you, Matthew, and I appreciate that. And I would expect nothing less from you, and I'm proud that you're doing that. That's an honorable thing for you to do. Okay, now the IRS has their own regulations for keeping documents, don't they?
They do, and typically what you need to do is keep, well, obviously you want to keep your tax returns forever. But the next question is, well, what about the receipts and all mm-hmm. the things that back up your tax returns? How long do you want to keep those? I think a general rule of thumb would be 7 years for that. The basic rule is you have to keep things 3 years mm-hmm. for audits. But then if there's a certain, we were talking about intent before. If,
right.
If there's a certain level of willful violation, they can go back 6 years.
If they can prove that, if they think they can prove that you did something intentionally to prevent them from seeing something, or if they thought that you did something on your tax return that was beyond just a mistake.
Right. It's something like that, so that the period doubles to 6 years, and then typically people will add on, as I mentioned before, a cushion mm-hmm. time period, another year. So 7 years is what you typically hear about, and I think that makes sense.
Right. Well, and of course there's a whole industry of document storage firms out there, aren't there? People who take your documents and box them up for you and store them for you.
Not only that, there's a whole industry called computer forensics consultants, and that's probably the subject of a whole separate radio show about the storage and destruction of electronic data, establishing a digital document retention policy. What do you do with information that's generated on laptops of your sales force that are out there? They're PDAs, they're Blackberries. Mm-hmm. What do you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very in-depth subject that we could get into. But the main point is you've got to establish an overall document retention policy, and it should be written down. And you should make sure you comply with it, because at some point you may have to explain to a judge or jury why you destroyed a particular document that the other side is claiming was vital to your case. And the bottom line is, as long as you can show that you had a policy and that the policy complied with the law and was a reasonable policy, you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
The rule in court is always the more reasonable side wins.
Huh. All right. That's now, and of course you need to have an attorney in your state or the state you're doing business in, plus any states that you're doing business in, to help you with the parameters of that document, that policy, right?
I think so, particularly as we mentioned, figuring out what the statutes of limitations are that may apply to what you're doing.
Right. And, and of course, if you have any kind of securities involved at all, that's a whole other world. That's a whole parallel universe to the regular marketplace, right, Matthew?
Oh, sure. And again, that gets into electronic data. I mean, you're talking about confidentiality concerns.
Right.
Personal business concerns. These are things that you need to take into account. You're also entitled to take into account the burden and cost of keeping records mm-hmm. and digital records.
Right.
That's an appropriate concern.
Right. Matthew, we're going to have to wrap it up there. Thank you for being here. Good job today. Thank you for helping us understand the good, the bad, and the ugly of document retention. Matthew Cartwright, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Matt.
So long.
We'll see you next time. Matthew Cartwright with Munley, Munley, and Cartwright in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.